seemed very vague, and I wasn't really sure as I was growing up why that was the case. And even when I got ordained, this is a bit embarrassing, but when I got ordained about 20 years ago, one of the questions that they asked me was, do you have any exceptions to the Sabbath? And I just kind of froze, and I kind of said, no. Not because I knew exactly what I was talking about, but because I haven't thought it, like I didn't exactly know what they meant. Do you have any exceptions to the Sabbath? And I just said, no. That felt like a safe answer, and they passed me. I mean, how many of us really took the time to think about, like, why Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments? And so I want to talk about why that's significant. And I think I'm at a stage in my life where things like Sabbath, it is crucial. Actually, there's a pretty renowned theologian, man named Walter Brueggemann. He taught at Columbia Seminary. He said this. He said, I have come to think that the fourth commandment on Sabbath is the most difficult and most urgent of the commandments in our society. Let me read that one more time. I've come to think that the fourth commandment on Sabbath is the most difficult and most urgent of the commandments in our society. And the more I think about it, it is crucial, especially in our culture. So here's my outline, just three questions. What did remembering the Sabbath mean for the Jews? Why was it so important for them? And then how do we practice it now? Okay. What does Sabbath mean? Why is it so important? And how do we practice it? So when the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath, what does it mean? Remember, biblically, when God says remember something, it's not just cognitive exercise. It's not just remembering an information. It's always tied to like demonstration, our action. So when God said he remembered his covenant, or he remembered his people, it fueled him to rescue his people out of Egypt. It's even in our days when a child says, Mommy, Daddy, remember my birthday. Well, he's really saying, remember to get me a present, right? He's not saying, just know when my birthday is. He's saying, you need to do something about my birthday. Or when your spouse, I guess we'll just, your wife, if you're married, says, honey, remember our anniversary. Like, she's really asking, you better do something about our anniversary. It's not just remembering a date, but she's asking, I want to see some action, some demonstration of your knowledge. And that's what Bible is saying. God, when God says, remember the Sabbath, God is saying, it's not just you know about what Sabbath is, but I want to see some demonstration of your remembrance. It says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Most of you know, but holy means to be set apart. And so the fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath by making it holy, meaning make sure that this day is set apart or distinct from any other day. How? Verse 9, it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. How do we make the Sabbath day distinct from any other day? God says, make it holy by not doing any work. Not just you, but your whole family, even your animals. Make sure that no one does any work. Now, in some sense, that's kind of humorous. I mean, the commandment is, stop doing work. Rest. Relax. I mean, in some sense, that's what God is saying. And I think it's just, like, when I read that, it doesn't fit my framework of how the world should be or how I should live my life. The fourth commandment is, make sure that Sabbath day is set apart. It's distinct. Stop doing work and rest. Now, there is some debate on what work is and what rest is. And so I want to kind of talk about that. But for now, what is Sabbath? What is God saying? He's saying on the Sabbath day, Make sure that it's holy, it's distinct. Stop working, rest. Second question is, why is it so important? Verse 11 says, for 6 days, the Lord made heavens and earth and the sea and all that's in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Here's number one, the reason why Sabbath is so important is because Sabbath gave the Jews their identity. Like God is saying, this is who I am and how I've created the universe, how I've created you. Now you follow my example. Right? It's like you bear my image. And so I want you to live how I've lived, work how I've worked, rest how I've rested. All right, so let me, I want to show you a quick clip here. Let's see if this works. Let's see it one more time. Oh, can we? No? Okay, there we go. All right, thank you. I love this video. One is funny. I couldn't help laughing when I saw this, but I love this video because, I mean, he must be, what, like 2 years old maybe? You know, but in his mind, I know what he's thinking. I want to be like my dad. I want to be like my daddy. So he takes the shovel and he tries to imitate his father. That's what's happening. And that's what kids do, right? Mommy, I want to try. Why? Because they've seen you do it. And so what God says about Sabbath is, I want you to work 6 days. I want you to rest on the seventh day because that's how I've created the universe. So in essence, one of the things why Sabbath is important is, especially for the Jews, but for us too, it reminds us of who we are before God and in this world. Who are we? Sabbath day reminds us we belong to this God who created the universe. And so partly what we should do on Sabbath is we should do things which helps us to remind us of our identity. This is who, and that's why coming to church or corporate worship is important, because through the songs and through the prayers and through hearing God's word, what we are doing and what we are remembering is, this is our God. Like, this is who we are. This is how much He loves me. Like, we are remembering these things because, in essence, that's what Sabbath is supposed to do. That's why Jewish people, the Jews, were so vigilant about keeping the Sabbath, because it was about their identity. It was who they were. They were reflecting who God was in their own life. And so, you know, we try to create our worship. Actually, the whole flow of our worship is sort of gospel flow. We talk about who God is, and we recognize our sin through prayers. We hear from God's word, and we respond to God's grace. The whole thing's about helping us together remember this God. This is who we are. That's why we gather together on Sundays, on Sabbath. Number two. Sabbath offered for the Jews a radical resistance. Just before Exodus 16, Exodus 20, before the Ten Commandments, if you recall, what happened was the Israelites came out of Egypt, in bondage to Egypt, and they're wandering in the desert. And they grumble because they're hungry, right? They're thirsty. And so they come to Moses, and Moses prays to God for them. And then God gives them manna, right? So the instruction was, I want you to collect each day, wake up, go and work, collect enough food for yourself for that day. And do that 6 days. But on the sixth day, I want you to go and collect for the sixth day and the seventh day. Because God said, on the seventh day, you're going to rest. Now, if you follow the story, if you remember the story, some of the Jews, like, didn't get it. Like, they actually went out on the seventh day to work, to gather food for themselves. And then God becomes upset. God becomes upset and sort of rebukes them. But, you know, more I think about that story, I think it wasn't just disobedience. Because in Egypt, for generations, they were pushed to accomplish and produce more. They knew no rest. Like, they were, for centuries, servants, slaves. They were pushed by Pharaoh and Egypt to produce more and more and more. And so here they are, coming out of Egypt, and God says, you work 6 days, but on the seventh day, you rest. Think about how radical that must have been. And that's why I think they, out of habit, it's been ingrained in them. They go out on the seventh day to collect food, but it's not there. In that way, Sabbath is resistance to the broader society or broader culture. Because even now, like, we live in a city that that values achievement and production. Like, if you can produce more, you are viewed as someone who is highly qualified. There is no discussion, verbiage about rest. So even as Christians, we want to achieve more and do more, and we want to consume more. I remember when I was young, you know, I said, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to go to seminary and study your word. And I remember going to seminary, and I remember meeting my sort of classmates for the first time. Here they were, right? They were like studying like Greek and Hebrew and theology. And then on weekends, they would be serving at a local church. And I just internally felt this pressure to like keep up. Like, I mean, there was no Sabbath. Should I just change the mic? All right, sorry. Okay. I just felt this internal pressure to like keep up, and so it was even like at a institution where you're supposed to learn about these things. I mean, there was like no one modeled this for me. You know, like seminary days were study on weekdays, serve at a local church on weekends, and then on Sunday afternoon, evening, I would just crash. I remember driving back from my local church where I was a youth pastor and coming back to my house. It was about a 50-minute drive. And I would oftentimes fall asleep. And one time I actually got into an accident because I dozed off. I woke up and it was too late. I mean, it was just push, 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 go, go, go. Because the value was you need to produce more. Like, you need to accomplish more. You need to achieve more. And that's like in our culture. We are a society of 24/7 multitasking in order to achieve more. And we are told that more is better. Now think about this. It sounds a lot like Egypt, doesn't it? You gotta do more, get more. In this way, Sabbath is resistance. We're saying, no. There's a better way to live this life. There's a way that God, the creator of the universe, God who created us, gave us a blueprint of how we ought to live. Is you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh day. All right, we'll go on. And I will sort of kind of build on these things. Number three, Sabbath was essential to loving your neighbor. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first three has to do with us loving God, and the last five has to do with us loving others. Right in the middle is the Sabbath commandment. And I used to think, why is that? Why is there God, and then we're called to love our neighbor? So it's honor your father and mother. you shall not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not bear false witness, and not covet. Like right before that is Sabbath. Why is that? It's because, I think it's because of this. We're not only driven to achieve more and consume more, but we're really driven to achieve more than others. We want to consume more than others. And even as Christians, those of us who follow God, Christ, sometimes we achieve more, we consume more, even at the cost of other people. So let's just hypothetically think, imagine you have three kids in your family. Okay? There's one pizza. You kind of cut that into like different slices and you say, okay, this portion here belongs to you and this belongs to you and this is like for you. You kind of leave it there and then they're eating and then one person says, I'm really hungry, I want some more, and grabs what's really portioned for someone else and grabs and eats it because he wants to or she wants to fill his belly. Sometimes that's how the world operates. Like we consume more, not just for ourselves, but as we consume more, we are actually affecting other people around us. Sabbath is important because the Ten Commandments is this. We love God, and Sabbath, we rest, and we recognize who we are. Recognize who we are before God who created us. We experience his love for us so that we can go out and love our neighbors. Sabbath is a pathway for us to be on, a way for us to like live for others. Without Sabbath, it's almost impossible because your mindset hasn't changed. You don't know who you are. You forget who you are. But on Sundays, making it by Sunday, you come and you recognize, this is who I am. This is my God. He's going to send me out, and I'm going to live to flourish others around me. Because why? Because you've already felt this rest, felt this love and grace from God. The Sabbath was essential to loving our or their neighbor. Lastly, Sabbath gave them, the Jews, this longing. If you read the Old Testament, it's you work 6 days, seventh day you rest. 6 years you work, and the seventh year, they call it Sabbath year, and even during the 6 year, you fell into some hard times, and you became sort of a servant to some other household or other people. On the seventh day, you were released. And then seven of those 7 years, you have the 50th year was called the year of Jubilee. And two things happened. One, during, let's say, your lifetime, you got into some trouble, hardship. And again, you had to work for other people. You became a servant or even a slave. The year of Jubilee, you were set free. You no longer had this owner to servant relationship, but you once again became brothers and sisters. And then you also got your property back. All the properties were returned back to the original owners, the year of the Jubilee. And what that did in the Old Testament was it gave the Jews like hope, like longing. This was a rough week, but Sabbath is coming. Wow, these years have been tough, but the year of Sabbath is coming. My family's gone so much, but we have the year of Jubilee coming. There's a sense of hope, you see? Longing. And that's how Sabbath is supposed to work. You work and you work and you consume, you accomplish, but on the seventh day, you're supposed to meet your Creator and rest in His presence. So you have a rough week, you tell yourself, Sabbath is coming. In our sort of, in the New Testament Christian, it's like, you've already tasted some of that because of Christ. We do have Sabbath. We have this rest because we know Jesus. But also long for the true Sabbath that's coming. Right, Hebrews chapter 4, that's what he talks about. True rest is coming your way. And the whole thing is, you can hope and you can endure because Sabbath is coming. So, friends, the rhythm is this.
The Christian rhythm is you work hard, you accomplish things, and then you say, this is good. This is as much as I can do with the limited time and resources and energy that God's given me. And you take your hands off and your mind off. And you come and you enjoy his presence and his people. Sabbath, we intentionally and communally say, we belong to him. He is our God. He is our creator. And we're going to experience his presence together. Like that's the rhythm. And then you go out again, not to gain more, not to get things from people, not to grab things. No, we move out saying, we want to bring flourishment. We want to see other people flourish because I know this God who've given me deep rest. That's the sort of the rhythm of the Christian life. And it's so hard to live it out in practice. But I think in our culture, that's what our world needs. The world needs God's people to be people of Sabbath. And we need that if we're going to go deeper and we're going to grow. All right, lastly, just briefly, how do we keep Sabbath now? I wanted to just give you some guidelines, but maybe the principle is this. In the New Testament, Mark chapter 2, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and on the Sabbath, they begin to pluck grain, you know. The Pharisees see them, and they come and this is Sabbath. You're breaking the law. Now, you know, all the rules about, like, Sabbath keeping and being clean ceremonially, I mean, the original intention was good because the Jews were part of other dominant cultures. And so the Jewish leaders wanted to make sure that they kept their Jewish identity. And so that's why they gave them 613 rules to follow, because they thought as long as we have these rules and restrictions, they are going to keep like their identity as Jews. But it backfired on them because these rules became too heavy. It just became burdensome. And so their disciples started picking grain because they're hungry. The Pharisees come and they say, you guys are breaking the rules, breaking the law. And then Jesus says this, and this is, I think, one of the key things in the New Testament about Sabbath. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. What Jesus is saying is, Jesus is reminding the Pharisees, Sabbath was a gift from God, your creator, to you so that you can live in this rhythm of life. It's a gift. It's not about rules and following all of these minute, detailed rules. No, it was a gift from your creator to you. So I think that's the principle. How do we then, the question is then, how do we organize our Sabbath so that it gives us like rest and it energizes us? And so just mention three things really quickly. Right? One, I think you need to know yourself. Like for a long time, and I'm still struggling with this for a long time, I didn't know how to rest. Anyone like me? Like you go rest. I don't know, like, do I take a nap? What do I do? Like I didn't know how to rest. Like, in other words, I didn't know how to do something where after I do that activity, I felt, wow, that I'm so energized. I'm going to go out and, like, conquer the world. I didn't know how to rest, and I'm still struggling with that. And so I've thought recently, like, what really gives me rest? Meaning, like deep soul rest. What gives me energy? So I came up with two things for me. This is where you need to know yourself. And I could be totally off because I haven't fully practiced this yet, but I think two things. One, I think I need to move around. I need to sweat. Like I need to do activity. And that's why even though I'm old, like on Monday evenings, I try to play basketball. And I stink now. I don't make any shots. People laugh at me. So you could ask my kids and my wife, before I go, I don't want to go. I'm so tired. I don't want to go. But after I come back, I feel so good. Like, wow, I feel so. So one, for me, it's like doing some kind of physical activity. And second thing, I think what energized me, it's sort of being in God's creation. like whether it's the beach, when I stand in front of the ocean, like I go, wow, this is refreshing. I could be here for a while. Like I could be, sit down in a chair and read a book just in front of this like waves of water. Like those two things in my mind, okay, some kind of activity and nature like helps. So I'm going to try to like think about how I could kind of put those two things together into my Sabbath thing. So know yourself. I guess before that, I've talked about this already, coming to corporate worship together to be reminded of who I am. That's so important. Even as a pastor, you know, I come and I worship, it refreshes my soul so much. So I know I need this time. So one is know yourself. Second thing is, like, know your context. Like, I think Sabbath will look different for a single person, you know, in his 20s, like, active, you're trying to do things, versus someone who's married, versus someone who has a lot of little kids, versus someone who, I guess, empty nesters. I mean, it'll look different, and so I think you need to try some different things to figure out what really works for your context. And don't be discouraged if it's not working. Like you just because we're all in this journey of trying to figure this out. Like, how do I rest well? Isn't that kind of funny? Like, the command is rest. And it's like, in our culture, it's like, how do I rest? I don't know how to rest. I feel like there's a lot of us. But so we got to figure things out, and I think it's going to take some time. And so set appropriate like, expectations, you know? Like, try some different things. Number three, let me say this. Because many of us are parents with little kids, so in your mind, you're thinking, like, I don't have time to, like, rest in this way because you're with kids all the time. So this is both an encouragement and a challenge to you, okay? I think Sabbath, in its essence, is done communally. Like, a lot of times we think Sabbath as something that you get away from everyone and everything, and you're, like, by yourself over here. You know, okay, I have 3 hours, too, by myself. Man, what am I going to do? Yes! Now, part of Sabbath might be that, like, you're on your own. Like, you know, just whether it's reading or reflecting. I mean, that's part of the picture. But I think primarily in the Old Testament, Sabbath was a command that was given to the community. And so what that means is we need to create rhythms. If you're a family with little kids, you need to create, think about rhythms where your kids are part of your Sabbath. Now, do you need time alone by yourself? Yes. But you want to get into a habit of doing Sabbath together with people. So, just give you an example. Or before giving you an example, I'll say, Erica Thornton, who's our kids ministry director, like we talk often about trying to make our kids worship and classes fun because we want our kids to have a positive like view of church. Right? We want them to say, Mommy, Daddy, we want to go to church today. And we want it to be positive. So we want to try to create our like church time fun. So I would say, come to worship together as a family unit. Hopefully your kids are having a great time even now. Hopefully you are being refreshed as you worship, as you hear God's word. And then I'm just kind of thinking of this one person who practiced Sabbath for a long time. Sunday after service, I mean, think about for, I guess, those of you who, again, with kids, I try to make it where it's like a unique day. You know, I was talking to someone and, you know, she shared how on Sundays they try not to make their kids practice piano. You know, because they want them to experience something that's like fun and positive. Maybe you make their favorite meal. You know, you take them out to a nice place where they'll enjoy. Maybe you hang out with other families who like they like and so you're trying to create a day that's fun for your kids, whatever that might like it look like. And I know the kids' age will kind of make that a little different, but you're thinking about how, as family unit, how do we make this where myself and our kids are like enjoying this day. And then Sunday afternoon, you probably need a nap. Take a nap. I was talking with this older person who sort of practiced Sabbath for a long time. His schedule is he goes to church, serves, comes back, naps, and then he prepares a nice meal where he invites friends, close friends, or family members. It's a special meal. He does it every Sunday, special meal where they bring out maybe nicer plates and, you know, it's, and they enjoy this meal together. Another thing that he does is he says he goes to his basement and he does woodwork because he likes to, like, create things with his hand, and he says that sort of refreshes him. Another thing that he does is he writes cards on Sabbath. It's in his mind, he's thinking, there's like 10 people, let's say, in his church that he's praying through. He writes them a handwritten card and kind of say, I'm praying for you, I remember you. And that's a way for him to, like, bless others on Sabbath. And the last thing that he does is he says he watches a movie with his wife. Sounds good. So, I mean, all that to just say, like, think about how you can build your Sabbath where you're connecting with God in a significant way. You're connecting with others, whether your kids or other friends, in a meaningful way. Try to bless others. And physically, you rest, take naps, enjoy that day. I know there are many other things, that practical things that we could talk about, but I think those are some guidelines. Let's bring it back and just remember that this day is a gift for you. The Sabbath is a gift to you from God. Let's really rest in his presence. Okay, and maybe that's a good way for us to close. So I'm going to ask us to bob our heads just for a minute or two, and let's just do that. I am pretty sure that many of you have even things to do this afternoon, or maybe you're worried about your work, or maybe I don't know, your kids. Just as we close our time together, let's just be still and know that this God of the universe is with us. And especially for those of us who are in a season of trial, and you've been in a valley sort of, your true Sabbath is coming. And you can experience a little bit of that today. But your deep, true Sabbath will come. And that's our hope. And we hold on to that. So let me give you a minute to just reflect and pray and talk to your Heavenly Father this morning. And then we'll sing a few songs and close.